Father, we are here not because we are great, not because we have done such wonderful things, but because you are great, and because of the wonderful things that you have done. Father, thank you for this wonderful honor, wonderful privilege we have to be in your presence tonight. We honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. Good evening, everybody. It is a great privilege, as always, for me to share the Word of God with you this evening. Let me start by asking a question. What is the time in your life that you have prayed the hardest? Just think about it. You don't have to answer the question. Just think about it for a second. What is the time in your life when you have prayed the hardest? I think we all agree and we all understand that the times in our life when we pray the hardest are the times when the pressure is really on. When you really feel, if God doesn't come through for me now, I will not be able to continue living. And that is the time that we pray the hardest. And there's nothing wrong with it. I'm not saying that for one second. But you know, praying with understanding has great value. Praying in a crisis has great value because, you know, the wonderful thing about it all is that in the crisis, God really comes through for you and God really makes a plan. God really does a miracle. And all of that is great and all of that is wonderful. But when we as Christians get to a place of maturity in our lives, when we can pray with real understanding, I think that that has great, great, great value. I haven't put any of what I'm going to say tonight on PowerPoint with very good reason. I believe in preparing well. But I haven't put it on PowerPoint because tonight I really just want to look you in the eye. And tonight I just want to share what God has put in my heart because I believe that we are standing on the threshold of something greater that God is about to do than this world has ever seen before. I really believe that with all that I have. You know, we all look at the world around us and we all talk very easily, CNN talk or Sky News talk, and we all agree with them when they say how bad things really are. But you know what I have learned in my life? That the worse things are, the greater the opportunity for God to reveal Himself as a great and a wonderful God. When Christians can be prosperous despite a world recession, it says something not about Christians, but it says something about their God. And when Christians talk the talk of CNN and Sky News, unfortunately then also it says something about, not about the Christians, but something about their God. And if you and I need to talk a talk, in the days in which we are living now, it is this talk. God is faithful. I think I've told you this before, but a little man, sort of a very stooped man one day, I said to him I thought I was quite clever actually, and when petrol became a rand a liter, those were the days when I bought my first car, petrol was 16 cents a liter. So that belies my age. The truth is, this little old man said this to me one day. And I said to him, you know, it is such a terrible thing that now petrol is 1 rand a liter. And you know what? This is not a good day. And this man said this to me. He said to me, I was in the ministry those days, and he said to me, Pastor, you know what? The same God that provided 10 cents a liter can also provide 1 rand a liter it's not a problem for him. I did this. And I turned around and I walked away. But I realized that day that what he said was absolutely so true. I want to talk with you this evening just for a few minutes about praying with understanding. And I want to read from Daniel chapter 10, verse 12. Daniel chapter 10, verse 12 says this. Then he said to me, "Do not fear, Daniel. From the first day you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words." Now, I'm not going to say too much about this because I want to get to the point. But this occurrence follows Daniel's prayer for the nation of Israel who are in exile in Babylon. And there's a bit of debate always about this. Was it Jesus Christ that appeared at that stage? The same was at Jericho before they marched around the walls when the man of God, man inverted commas of God, said the appeared to Joshua. The same gets said about Jacob at the Jabbok River when he wrestled with the man. Was it Jesus Christ or was it an angel? And there's lots of debate about this and even here. But Daniel prays a prayer of repentance. And when we listen or when you read the prayer, and I'm not going to read it, then you begin to understand that Daniel is praying a prayer of understanding. He understands what it is about and he understands what is necessary under the circumstances, what he needs to pray in those circumstances. After 70 years in exile, Cyrus inexplicably issues a decree allowing the Jews to return and to rebuild Jerusalem. We as Christians know all too well that this was the result of prayer in Daniel 9, which I've mentioned. A man of God taking up the challenge to pray rather than sit by the rivers and weep. You know Psalm 137, verse 1 and 2, Boney M., you remember, by the rivers of Babylon. It says this, it says, "Beside the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept as we thought of Jerusalem." Now you must know that Jerusalem, when Nebuchadnezzar besieged Jerusalem, what he did first was he took away the cream of the people of Jerusalem. All the cleverest, most wealthy people of Jerusalem he took away. And then a couple of years later, he came back and he took another number of exiles. But then what they did was they also burned Jerusalem to the ground. So Jerusalem was in ruins. And when these people are sitting in Babylon, the people of Judah, the Jews, they were crying, they were weeping about Jerusalem. But there was a man in amongst all these exiles. Now remember, the prophets were saying certain things. Jeremiah was saying certain things. And Ezekiel was saying certain things. And if you read Jeremiah and you read Ezekiel, then you begin to understand that these people knew that God had a wonderful plan of restoration for them. But what these people did, they sat at the rivers of Babylon and they wept about Jerusalem. And in amongst all these weeping, wailing people, there is a man who says, there has to be more to this than this nation living in exile. We will die here. Jerusalem will never be rebuilt. There has to be more than this. And then Daniel begins to seek understanding. He begins to seek understanding. Now, I want you to listen to what he does. I want you to listen to what this man does when all this is happening. Now remember, I just want to say this. Beside the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept as we thought of Jerusalem. Now listen what they do. We put our harps, we put away our harps, hanging them on the branches of the poplar trees. So when weeping came in, worship went out. And these people, now if you understand the Jews, sorry, hay fever. When you understand the Jews, you have to understand that worship was as integral to their lives as anything else. If you just look at David late in later years, if you just look at the way these people worship, go to Jerusalem today. And don't even go to a Christian gathering. Just go to some Jewish gathering. Just listen to these people sing Hava Nagila. You get goosebumps on your goosebumps. Because these people have worship in their heart. And these people are sitting by the rivers of Babylon and they hang their harps in the tree and they say, you know what? We will worship no more. All we want to do from the morning until the night, we want to weep before God about Jerusalem. But Daniel says, no, there has to be more to it than this. Now, Daniel prayed all his life. We know that. The Bible says that. It was a way of life for him. In Daniel 6 verse 10, but when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, when you may not pray to any other god except to the emperor or to the king, but that when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home and knelt down as usual in his upstairs room with its windows open towards Jerusalem. He prayed three times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to God. So you see, to Daniel, prayer was a way of life. Now, if I understand this correctly, it seems to me as though Daniel was not somebody who only prayed in a crisis. Now, they had many crises in Babylon. We know that. We know that. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they refused to bow down before this monstrosity that Nebuchadnezzar put up in the middle of the city. And what happens? They get thrown in the fiery furnace. I don't know about you, but I think that's a crisis. I think. When Daniel gets caught out praying, what happens? He gets thrown in the den of lions. I don't know about you, but I think that's a crisis. But Daniel is not, he doesn't have the habit of only praying when a crisis comes along. This man knew what it was like to pray. And yet, despite all that, when Daniel thinks about Jerusalem, he doesn't cry like the rest of the people. When Daniel thinks about the destiny of this nation sitting in exile, he realizes in his heart, there's more to this than the eye can see. And then he does this. As the visions come and he considers the prophecies of Jeremiah and Ezekiel, his heart for God's people is moved. Now you can think about Daniel. Now Daniel was a very important man. In that kingdom, he was an advisor to the king. He was a very important man. And as this man, and I can just see it in my mind's eye, the Bible doesn't say this, but I was never short on imagination. But as I can just see this man standing and looking at this nation, sitting by the rivers of Babylon and weeping about Jerusalem. And in this man's heart, he says, there has to be more than this. And then what he does is he goes to Scripture. He goes to the law and he begins to read the law. And he begins to study the law. And one day the penny drops. After almost 70 years in exile, the penny drops. And when he goes to the law, he reads Leviticus chapter 26. I'm not going to read it. But Leviticus chapter 26 and Deuteronomy 27 to 28 says exactly the same thing. He talks about the people who obey God and do His will be blessed in such and such a manner. But then he goes on and he says, but the people who disobey God and who do not do His will be cursed, and the following will happen to their lives. And suddenly he realizes that is it. There's a reason for this exile. It's not just about exile. This nation was disobedient to God. But then he goes on. If you read in these two scriptures, you can read it at home. God doesn't only say, if you obey me, I will do this to you. And if you disobey me, this will happen to you. But then God goes on and he says, if you repent, I will forgive you. If you repent, I will restore you. And Daniel says, this is it. And one man stands in the midst of a nation and he repents for the sins of an entire nation. Think about it. And you know what happens? Just days after that, Cyrus gets up in the morning and he says, I think I should let these people go home. He thought it's a brainwave of a lifetime. I know that there was a God behind the brainwave of a lifetime. And I know there was a man behind the God who realized that praying with understanding has great value. When Daniel understood what it was all about, he prayed differently than he had ever prayed before. And I don't think that Daniel said, "Oh, you know, Lord, I'm really sorry about all the nonsense that we did in the past. Really, Lord." I think this man crept on his knees. I think he cried out to God with every bit of zeal that he had. And he wept before God for the sins of his nation. And you know what? God heard the prayer of a man praying with understanding. We can all sit by the rivers of Babylon. And we can all weep about the world, and we can all weep about South Africa, and we can all weep about Franschhoek. But I know one thing for sure, that when we as Church of Jesus Christ begin to pray with understanding, God will reveal things to us that we have never known. God will help us to see things that we have never seen. God will just reveal by His Holy Spirit what we as a church need to pray about, how we need to pray, what we need to pray, what we need to repent of. Now, I know that for anybody to get into heaven, he needs to repent himself. I can't repent for Sanet's sins. Doesn't work that way. But when it comes to nations, one man who stands up and says, I understand what all this is about, and begins to pray fervently to God, God hears his prayer and restores a nation. Daniel prayed with understanding, and God gives the breakthrough. Just listen to this again. The man, the godly man, says, do not fear. From the first day you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. Now, I'm not going to go into it, but we know now that the prince of Persia in the heavenlies, the prince of Persia resisted this heavenly man. That's why, I don't know, I tend to think that it wasn't Jesus. This is me personally. I believe it was an angel. I don't believe it was Christ, because I don't think that the prince of Persia would be able to stand before Christ. That's my personal opinion about it. But we know that Daniel was crying out to God for 3 weeks. He was crying out to God. He understood and he prayed and he asked God and he petitioned God and he just prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, and nothing happened for 3 weeks. And then we know that this godly man says, I would have been here 3 weeks ago, but I was resisted. We know that. I'm not going to go into that now. But what really encourages me, was that this man says to Daniel, do not fear, because from the very first day you set your heart to understand, and from the very day that you humbled yourself before your God, I was on my way. Your words were heard. And I want you to take courage from this. I want you to really understand this. This is really, really, really God's heart for us. This is really God's heart for us. And when we study God's Word, we begin to understand God's heart, what He thinks about us, how He feels about us. When you ask unbelievers about God, you hear all kinds of weird and wonderful stories. God is an angry old man up there somewhere who is just spending all his time thinking of what he can do to the world next to make our lives as miserable as he possibly can. You hear people say stuff like that. You know? And what really gets me is when people say, oh, the old man up there, you know what? And that's why we as Christians who know better, we need to understand. We need to study God's Word. We need to look into His Word so that we can truly understand who and what God is. This is what we need to do. And you know what? We learn so much about God from His Word. The truth is, God is not an angry old man sitting up there somewhere waiting to do something bad to this earth again. That's not who God is. The truth is, if we serve God and we do His will, He delights in us. If we serve God and we do His will, He delights in us. That's the truth. And if you go and you look at God's Word, you'll find that that is true. You will find that that truly is so. God delights in us when we obey Him and when we do His will. The truth is, if you look into God's Word, it says, if we sin and go astray, He calls us and brings us back to the fold. God is not somebody who says, oh, you know what? I've just had enough of you. You just continue in your sin and you just do what you got to do. It's over. You remember the parable of the lost sheep? Jesus says, if one sheep gets lost, the shepherd leaves 99 sheep and he goes and finds the one who is lost. And he picks him up and he carries him back to the fold. That is the God that we serve. That is who God really is. If we repent of our sin and disobedience, He forgives and cleanses and restores us. God is not someone who says, you know what, you sinned so badly and you know, I want to have nothing more to do with you. But when we look at God's Word, when we understand God's Word, these things just jump out at you. You can't help but see God's love. You can't help but see God's forgiveness. You can't help but see who God is. And then we begin to understand when we pray about our sin. Let me illustrate it this way. I read in the Bible, if you confess your sins, God is faithful and true to forgive you all your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. So now you read this in the Bible. Now you have sinned. So how do you pray? Oh God, I am so filthy. Oh God, I am so filthy. Oh God, I know you can't love me anymore. Oh God, please, I know you can just trample me like a little bug under your... Is that how you pray? No. If you understand God's will, this is the way you pray. Lord, I have sinned. I am so sorry for my sin. But I thank you for your forgiveness. And I thank you for your willingness to forgive. Please, God, forgive my sin. I have wronged you. I have wronged other people. Please, Lord, forgive me. It's a different prayer, is it not? So when we understand, when we have understanding through God's word, we pray the way God needs us to pray. Now, I just want to bring this to a personal level, and I want to spend a few more minutes just to do this. When we read God's word, when we look at God's word, when we ask God to reveal himself to us through his word, we gain understanding and we begin to understand God's heart. Now, in our walk with God, this is something that is so unbelievably important, that we understand God's heart. Now, one of the greatest things, one of the greatest miracles for me is that God, who is God and who is great and who is almighty and with the word of his mouth created the whole world and with the power of his word keeps everything in its place, allows himself to be understood. We are human beings. We are fallible. We're small, we're very little really. And God reveals himself to us in such a way so that we can understand his heart. How much mercy is locked into that very fact? That a great God says, you know what? I will reveal myself to you in such a way so that you can understand my heart. So that I don't have to pray, oh, I'm a worm, I am worth nothing, please, Lord, just trample me. I don't have to pray that way. I can say, Lord, I thank you that in Jesus Christ I am forgiven of all my sins. The price for my sin and unrighteousness has been paid. And I just honor you, Lord, that you will forgive me as I pray for forgiveness in this hour. You pray differently because God has allowed you and me to understand his heart. Now, I know that many people are struggling in this time. I know that many, many people are struggling in this time. And I just want to encourage you just for a few moments. And I just want to pray that God will just drop this in your spirit. And I'm holding my head. Drop this in your spirit so that you will truly understand God's heart. And that you will know that what God thinks about you and what God feels for you is way above and beyond anything that we can ever think or believe. Let's go to Isaiah. And you know, I started sort of just paging through as I was preparing this message. I was just paging through the Bible, and I've got a few scriptures marked in my Bible. And when I read these scriptures, you know, I was just so encouraged by it. Now, I just want you to listen to this. I just want you to listen to this. Maybe the devil has been telling you, you know what? I think God's really sick and tired of you because you know what, really? But I just want you to listen to this. And I just want you to hear God's heart so that when you pray about your life and when you pray about your circumstances, that you can pray with understanding. You have to understand who God is and what his plan and what his purpose and what his heart is. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 to 31. Now I know that I will not even begin to scratch the surface by these couple of scriptures that I'm going to read just to encourage you now. But just listen to them. Verse 28, have you not known, have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. And then he says this, he gives power to the weak, and to those who have no strength, or those who have no might, he increases strength. Let me read that again. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths fall, faint, and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up like with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Have you ever felt that life is just too much? Have you ever felt that the challenges of life are just becoming too great? He gives power to the weak. That's who he is. That's how interested he is. That's how important we are. And you know what? When God puts this in his word, he doesn't put it there without meaning. He doesn't put it there without reason. When the word of God says he gives power to the weak, if you are weak, if you are feeling weak, you know what? The word of God says God gives power to the weak. The world that we live in sort of shuns the weak, don't they? If you look at disabled people in general, the rest of us feel sort of uncomfortable around disabled people. So many people go even a step further and they look down on the weak. And then somehow, somewhere, this mindset got stuck in our heads as well, that God also just blesses the strong. And God only has a plan with the strong. But you know what? My Bible says God himself gives power to the weak. And when we understand this, and we have weakness in our life, when we're going through a difficult time, and we understand the Word of God, we're not only just praying in a crisis, but we're praying with understanding. God, I am so weak, and I'm going to lie down on this carpet, I'm just going to die. Just please take the last breath from me. I was so encouraged by your testimony this morning, Renelle. When God comes through and God says, you know what? I will not take your last breath. I will not let you die. George said the same thing. Lord, just let me die. But when we have understanding, we say, Lord, I am so weak. I feel that I can die. But I want to hold on to your promise that says you give power to the weak. And then you begin to pray with understanding and your finger starts to move. And God starts to give a breakthrough. You see, when you pray with understanding, you pray with meaning. And that's why it's important for us to understand the heart of God. Just go to the very next page. Isaiah 41 from verse 9. The second part. He said, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not cast you away. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Verse 13 says, for I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. How many times have we walked in life where we have felt so vulnerable and we have felt that there is no help anywhere to be found? How many times have I felt that way? How many times have you felt that way? Julle lyk vir net so geestelik. Julle het ook so gevoel. And then my Bible says, I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. When we pray with understanding, we don't pray, oh God, I am weak. Oh God, I am dismayed. my life is over. When we understand God's word and we understand his heart, then we hear his word say, fear not, for I am with you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Just go to the next page. Isaiah 43. George mentioned it this morning in his testimony. I have called you by your name, you are mine. And then he says this. There was a time in my life, and I'm not going to tell you about it some other time, when I read this verse over and over and over and over and over again. And I lived off this verse for quite some time. He says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. Verse 4, since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored, and I have loved you. I will perish in this flood. I will die in this fire. Often we say that. I said that. But when we understand God's heart, then we say, Lord, I'm going through the flood and I'm going through the fire. But I thank you for your word that says, I will go through the flood and I will not drown. I will go through the fire and I will not be burned because you are with me. You see, when we pray with understanding, we pray different prayers. And God is encouraging us to not only pray in the time of crisis, but to pray with understanding. Isaiah 49, when my son was born, in St. Mary's Hospital in Springs, in Transvaal. Here sal my daarvoor ook nog vergewe. Although they won the Currie Cup, so that's not so bad. When this verse it's like a nursing home now. It used to be a sort of a Catholic nursing home years ago. But there's like a whole mural on the one side. And I read this when my wife was in labor, my ex-wife was in labor with Warren. I read this, and this really just stuck in my heart. And I was, again, so encouraged. It wasn't the whole part, but I was so encouraged by this. Isaiah 49, verse 14. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me, and the Lord has forgotten me. How many times have we said that in our lifetime? But now we pray with understanding. Listen to the next verse. The Lord says, can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will never forget you. Who of you here are mamas? What are the chances that you would ever forget your child? There's no chance. And then God's word says, even though the impossible would happen, I will never forget you. Israel says, my God has forgotten me. My God has forgotten me, forsaken me. And God said, that's not possible. So when we understand God's heart, we know that that's not possible. And when we pray, Lord, I feel so alone. I feel so deserted. I feel that I'm standing alone in this world. But I thank you for your word that says that you, God, will never forget me. You see, praying with understanding has great value. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Ugh, you know what? My life is over. Nothing left for me to do. You know what God says? I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you hope and a future. Lord, it feels as though my life is at an end. I cannot see beyond the pain that I'm in. I cannot see beyond the situation that I'm in. But I thank you for your word that says that you have a plan for me. You have hope for me. You have a future for me. Thank you, Lord, that I can choose to understand and believe your word. Praying with understanding has great value. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. You know what? There's nothing left for this world. This world is just going to go backward and backward and backward until one day, poof, it'll just disappear in a ball of fire. You know what? God's just going to get so mad at us, and God's just going to get so tired of us that one day he's just going to send a huge lightning strike and it's all over. You know what my Bible says? For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God, there is no hope for sinners anymore. Sin has become so rife. Sin has become so terrible. And we hear about so much stuff that is happening. There's no hope for this world. You know what? When we pray with understanding, we say, Lord, thank you. Thank you that you loved the world so much that you gave your Son Jesus to die for the sin. Doesn't matter how vile and how terrible it is, you died. And you took away the sins of the world. The price has been paid. It is finished. When we pray with understanding, it has great value. And then I want to close with one verse. We live in a time when I know that lots of people struggle financially. And I know that people sometimes get to a point where they say, you know what, there is no hope for us anymore. Just listen to what the Lord says. Matthew 6 verse 25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about your clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toll nor spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. Verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. How easily do we worry about our lives? How easily do we become so concerned about our lives and about our future and about our children? And God says, don't worry. So when we pray about our future and about our needs and about our children, just hear God say, don't worry about all of these things. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. When we have understanding, we pray according to his will and purpose, and we experience great breakthroughs in our lives and in our communities. And then just listen to the words again. Do not fear, for from the first day you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. So my message to you tonight is, there's great value in praying when there's a crisis. That's the way to go. If you are in a crisis, pray hard and God will give you a breakthrough. But when we move along the road and we begin to reach a point where God is helping us to mature spiritually, God wants us to pray with understanding. Because when you pray with understanding, you pray with a different heart. It's not just a crisis that's here today and gone tomorrow. solved tomorrow. It's about praying God's will. It's about praying God's purpose. And then often you find that your focus just moves away from yourself and it moves to others and it moves to your community, and suddenly things that have never been important to you become important because you start to pray with understanding. And therefore, what I'm saying is, let's go to God's Word and let's ask God to reveal His heart to us so that we can pray with understanding. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your great love. And we thank You, Lord, that we are in this wonderful position to be part of Your church and of Your body on this earth. And whilst we here this evening understand Your love and understand Your will for our lives, and understand that You are a great and loving and wonderful God, there are so many who do not understand this. So many who pray because of a crisis and never with understanding. And I pray, Lord, that You will help us to be mature in our spiritual lives, that we will indeed pray with understanding. Give us the zeal, give us the hunger to seek Your face in everything that we do. Give us the zeal, Lord, to look into Your Word and to find out what the heart of God is, and help us to pray with when we pray. Reveal Yourself to us through Your Word and through Your Holy Spirit every single day, that we may grow in our relationship with You, that we may become more and more mature so that we can understand the heart of God and pray accordingly. Thank You for this time that You have been with us. Thank You that You have blessed us in worship and also in receiving Your Word. And I pray, Lord, that this week ahead will be a very special and blessed week for everyone. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.